Good morning, everybody. Parshas Vayakhel. Shkoach on the large turnout this morning. Hopefully something we can continue. In this week's Parsha, we discussed the actual implementation of the building plans of the Mishkan. And one in the Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Yud, one of the most famous ideas about the building of the Mishkan, the Torah says, V'chol chacham lev, v'chem yavo v'yasu, Eis kosher tzivu Hashem. And every chacham lev, wise-hearted person. Now, the obvious question is, what does it mean to have a wise heart? A heart, generally speaking, essentially, doesn't have much to do with the chachma. It has to do with the intellect. The heart is the feeling, and so on. And the chachma should be somewhat objective, how much wisdom is inside. So what does a chacham lev mean? So the Medrash says on this pasuk, anytime you find the protection from Isurei Avera that relate to Erva, you find Kedusha. And who do we find that, what types of people do we find that are protected from Erva, from those types of Averos? And Rambam explains, the only time you have problems of Arayos is when what? You have a heart that's open from Chachma, meaning it's available, it's free from Chachma, it's not filled with Chachma. The Gemara in Yuma says, "Avirah tenes is libo shel adam." If a person does an avera, it contaminates the heart. So the pshat is, based on the Rambam, is that a person who's not involved in Chachma, a person who's not focused on something that's related to the working of the mind, if his mind's not working, Mamela, his mind is going to be drawn into things that easily draw the mind, like erva and these types of taivas and these types of distractions. So the message of Chacham Lev is that a person needs to be totally involved in using his mind for constructive purposes. Now essentially, this Chachma doesn't have to be Chachma Satora. If a person is studying astrology all day, if a person is studying math all day, so he's occupied. Right? If he's sitting in front of a box and being entertained, so he's not using his mind. So Mamela, his mind is available to be lured and to be influenced. However, if his mind is working on mathematics or something like that, so then he's okay. However, the only problem with occupying your mind with mathematics is what happens when you stop for a moment or a half hour for mathematics. As we see by many philosophers, like Aristotle and the like, that what? They were involved in Chachma, yet their personal lives were nothing to write home about, nothing to be proud of. Mashenkin, the Torah is totally different. Torah is Chachma slave. The idea that when a person learns Torah, right, it's not just about the time that he's occupied using his mind for Torah. There is a physical explanation to it, because you feel close to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not mystically, just when you learn. You feel like you're learning God, Hashem's Torah, you're doing a mitzvah. By definition, you feel like, wow, I'm doing something positive, how can I do anything bad? But even more than that, mystically and Kabbalistically, and spiritually speaking, the person learns Hashem's Torah, it's going into his soul, it's touching his neshama. So he feels like a different person. I'm sure everybody here can attest to the fact that when they've learned well, and they walk outside, and they're about to shmooze, they're about to maybe say a bad word, they're about to say Lashon Hara, they feel a little bit differently because they just had a great Seder. They just felt like they connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the message is, of Chacham Lev, is that a person who occupies himself in Torah is able to withstand the influences of the outside world. I remember hearing a story on a tape from Rabbi Lev Kellerman from Harnof. He was discussing how he had to be in a lot for something. I'm not really sure what he had to be there for, but he said he had to be there. And he went to a gadol, and he said, "How can I go to a lot? It's not a place for Ventura. There are many outside influences." And I believe, if I remember the story correctly, the gadol told him a gemara about the fact that the eyes are the seat of the heart. Something to that effect. And he was like, "What are you talking about? I know that Gemara. What does that have to do with anything?" So he explained to him that if you go with your son, apparently his son had to go also, if you go with your son and you involve yourself in the deepest sugya in learning, so if your heart, your chacham lev, your heart's occupied with learning Torah, so basically your eyes won't see anything else. It'll only be engrossed in the chachmas Torah. So don't learn a light sugya. Learn a difficult, deep sugya in Gemara, and be involved with that for a few hours, and then you can walk around the street and nothing will affect you. That's what he told him. That's one nekuda. The other nekuda is the idea of the Atzei Shittim. The Atzei Shittim are used very often in the building of the Mishkan and the objects that were contained in the Mishkan. You know, the Aron, the Mizbeach, the Mishkan itself. The Atzei Shittim played also a very, very central role in a lot of the building that was taking place in the Mishkan. Where did the Atzei Shittim come from? The cedar wood. So we know many things that were needed for the Mishkan came miraculously to the Jews in the Midbar. But the Atzei Shittim was not one of those things. The Atzei Shittim came from where? From Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu planted the Atzei Shittim. And Yaakov Avinu went to Beersheba and took the Atzei Shittim along with him to Mitzrayim. And the Jews left Mitzrayim and took the Atzei Shittim with them. For what? To build the Mishkan? For what? What was the purpose of having the Atzei Shittim, the foundation of a lot of the objects and the Mishkan itself, having it brought all the way back from Avraham Avinu? So, it's a famous idea from Yaakov Kamenetsky. In order to build a Mishkan, it has to have the purest and purest foundation. Right? To bring along, and it's based on the Gra as well, to bring along, to buy wood in the shuk, so to speak, at the time of building the Mishkan, that means the foundation won't be as pure as can be. What's the real makor of these Atzei Shittim? However, if you have the Atzei Shittim that came already from Avraham Avinu, who planted them with the Kavana, this will be the place of this will be used to create the place of Hashem's Shechina, so then what? Then it'll be Matzeach, then it'll last forever. And he quotes the Gemara, the famous Gemara about Metzia, which describes the Mile of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya, we know, he's highly regarded as, number one, a tremendous Gadol, and a tremendous Talmud Chacham, tremendous Rav in the Gemara. But he's also credited with Talmudim, with spreading Torah. As the Gemara says about Metzia, that his Mile over Rabbi of Rish Lakish, Zeresh Lakish, was just about Pilpul. But Torah Kamosul Rebatzta, he didn't necessarily spread Torah the way Reb Chiya. And the Gemara we know describes how Reb Chiya taught his students. What did he do? He would plant flax himself, right, and use that eventually for the parchment. He would catch deer, and he would feed the deer, and he would shech them, and he would feed the deer to poor people, and he'd use the skins for the parchment, and then he'd write Chamishah Chumshah Torah on them, and then he'd write Mishnayas on them. And what he did was, he would have six students, each one, he would teach each one a Seder of Mishnayas, and then he would have them chazer, you know, review with each other a Seder of Mishnayas. So the Gemara highlights the fact that Reb Chiya did all this himself. He did all the planting of the flax, he did all the writing of, you know, he did all the catching of the deer, all by himself. Why? Because the pshat is, when you have pure kavanos throughout the entire process, then it's matzliach. And that's a lesson that we learned from Avraham Avinu and from Yaakov Avinu, why they took the time out and the effort to make sure that the Atzei Shittim used in the Mishkan were from Avraham Avinu, not from that present moment. But I want to take a very, very important idea out of this. Now, usually, I mean, it happens to be three of my grandparents have passed away in this month, and I've sponsored bagels. Bleeding it, I'm being behind myself next Friday, because every week, I get too busy and I never do it. But next week we're going to have bagels and cream cheese and orange juice, and just to show you to spread the word. But an idea that I'd like to focus on to bridge the two these ideas is as follows. One of the, I say this often. I don't know if I've said it yet this year in this venue. That a person sitting in yeshiva, he's 18, he's 19, he's 20 years old. Yeah. So what does he have to worry about? First Seder today, second Seder tomorrow, where should I go for Shabbos, what should I do, who should I hang out with, who should I talk to? These are all very important. But if you get caught up in the, I don't want to call them small, but if you get caught up with what you have to worry about today, and this and that, so like, what's the big deal? Okay, that's fun, I'll do that. That's not fun, I won't do that. But when you think about the future, when you think about what Avraham Avinu did when he planted the trees for the Mishkan, and when you think about what Reb Chiya did in order to teach Torah eventually, you think about foundations. And I don't want to necessarily put a lot of extra pressure on anybody to think about this too much, but a person has to be thinking a little bit into the future. Because we look at, let's say, our grandparents. Some of us, well, some have grandparents that are alive, some of us don't. And you see their children and their grandchildren, and you see the legacy. You see, wow, like how they led their lives. Not always, but most of the time played a significant role in how their generations look, right? The people were most inept for Torah and were highly observant. not always, but very often, their descendants follow that path. Most of the time. Okay? Of course, there are exceptions. So too over here. And life goes by very fast. Here you are, you're like, oh, what's, you know, I'm 18, having a good time, you know, I'm going to go to college, everything's going to be great. But now's the time to start thinking about the future. It's life goes by very fast. I was listening to another Torah tape this week, and the person was saying, he's like, you know, when you're younger, you think everything's going so slow. When you get older, life just travels so fast. All of a sudden, you have, you know, you get married, then you have children, then, you know, you have grandchildren, and it just flies so fast. So even though you're right, you're 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old, you're here to enjoy yourself for sure. But on the other hand, this is your one year or your 2 years, or how many years you spend in yeshiva. These are your years to what? To build your foundation for what? For not just you, the kind of girl you marry, kind of house you have, kind of family you have, kind of children you have, the kind of grandchildren. You're not so far away from creating your own legacy. We should take the lesson of Rabbi Chiya and Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu and try to make our foundation as pure as possible, and to connect to the first idea, we should try as much as we can to fill our hearts and our minds with Torah and Chesed, of course, things that are Jewish related, things that are constructive. So, and that's the greatest recipe to not falling to outside influences and so on. If we're too busy with Torah and Avoda and Gemilas Chasadim, so we'll have the three pillars of the world. We won't be have outside influences. And if we have those foundations, pure foundations, we'll be zocha to build houses filled with Torah and mitzvahs and sisiyata d'shmaya. Good Shabbos.